Before we get to this week's Survivor Feedback Show, I want to take a moment and tell you about our friends over at True Car, because if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. That's why there's True Price from True Car. Now you'll know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want. Who knows? Maybe it's even a PT Cruiser, including the fees and the accessories before you get to the dealership. And a True Car dealer will show you the true price on a car like the one that you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your True Price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealer knows this. So they set their True Price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who's about to become a member of the Generation X tribe. Rob Cesternino, hello everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast Feedback Edition for episode number 4 of Survivor David versus Goliath. And we're going to be talking with Millennials versus Gen X's own Sunday Burquest. Has never been on the podcast for a recap or a feedback show, but we're going to have her on here today to talk about everything that is going on in this jam-packed week here on the podcast. Had a very nice conversation with PG Law, who was here in the studio. The podcast and video of that is up on robhasawebsite.com. Had a lot of fun with PG, and I highly suggest you check that one out. Thought the video came out good as well. If you want to check that out on our YouTube channel, of course, our double exit interview and Survivor Know It All is also up on robhasawebsite.com. Before we bring in a Sunday, let me just quickly thank our other sponsor here today. And I want to thank our friends over at Quip, who have redesigned the electric toothbrush to make the better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. You know, one of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and enjoyable. I have gotten expensive electric toothbrushes in the past, and I always just end up stop using them for whatever reason. I don't have a good outlet in my bathroom right now, and I end up just going back to the manual, but that's not what you're supposed to be doing, because Quip has sensitive sonic vibrations, which gently, it's like a face story, gentle enough on your sensitive gums, because people brush too hard like Goliaths, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. With the built-in 2-minute timer, you'll get pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, because 90% of us don't brush for the full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly. With a multi-use cover, which mounts to your mirror and unmounts to slide over the bristles for on-the-go brushing, and also it doesn't require a charger and runs for 3 months on one charge. Brush heads are also automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months, because 3 out of 4 of us use bristles that are old, worn out, and ineffective, like me. So go ahead and give Quip a try. They're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25. So go ahead and go to getquip.com. That's getquip.com/Rob right now to get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/Rob. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring onto the podcast, because in my continuing mission to bring in the entire cast of Millennials versus Gen X, that I realized that there was a great person that I had not had on the podcast yet to talk about what's going on Survivor. Please welcome the great Sunday Burquest. Sunday, how are you?
I am awesome. I am awesome.
Yes. Sunday, you were following along when one of your nemesises, Tyler Fredrickson, who has long been championing against Millennials versus Gen X on the podcast, was on the show. So we had to balance things out.
Well, I appreciate that. Although I don't think he was directing any of that my way.
Yes, yes. Well, I had referenced you because that he was such a force of positivity, according to Stephen Fishback. And I said, what is he, Sunday Burquist?
I really appreciated that, Rob. I will take
he
that
did not.
For
Tyler
some positivity.
Did not.
Yes. I know, I heard that.
Yes. But Sunday, how have you been?
I have been spectacular. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing very good. Busy weekend coming up for me, and excited to kick that off here, talking with you about another fun episode of Survivor. Sunday, so what has been your thought overall on this season? Have you enjoyed it?
I'm loving it. I've loved every episode. I think it's really fun, and I like the cast. I really like it.
Okay. Sunday, yeah. We had a super exciting episode the other night in terms of what was going on. And we got to see the blind side of Natalia. And she had such a great reaction in terms of going home. And I think in a lot of people's minds, it was reminiscent of one of the blind sides that you participated in the Millennials versus Gen X when Michaela went home.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Oh, my word. When Michaela grabbed a tree branch on her way out after her torch was knocked, when Natalia was leaving, I was like, oh, my word, this is like Michaela. Mm-hmm. How fun.
Yeah.
To watch. Not for her, but fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, but this was a much slower car crash to unfold, I felt like, because Natalia really did see it coming, where for Michaela, you know, it was a blindside up until, what was it, the third Michaela vote came up.
She turned around and looked at Will, and I could not believe how far her neck and her body stretched looking back at Will, because she knew immediately, oh, it was quite uncomfortable sitting there, I'll tell you that much.
Sure. Now, this one, I think, might have been uncomfortable for even longer, because while that was sort of like, you know, ripping the Band-Aid off, this one was, there was like a lot of signals to Natalia that this was not going well. And she was trying to call it out there at the tribal council. I mean, at the moment where Alex started whispering to Elizabeth,
I don't like that at all.
She didn't like it.
No, I don't blame her. I wouldn't have liked it either. She knew it was coming. She had to at that moment know, oh my word, it's me.
Yeah.
She had to.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't need like incredible intuition to be able to tell that something is going wrong at that point. And Kara, you know, she had asked her about, you know, hey, what's going on? And this was Kara's reaction.
We have a plan, and him doing that is totally nothing to do with the plan.
But I trust it.
She trusted it Sunday.
You got to do that at tribal. I mean, if you're working with someone, you have to think that they're telling you the truth. Obviously, that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
So in the moment, you know, I don't think Kara actually knew.
No, does she? I don't think she did at all.
I don't think she knew at all. So in her mind, she totally was telling her the truth. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so poor Natalia. You know what it reminded me of, though?
What?
It totally reminded me of the vote when Lucy went out.
Yes.
Because if you remember Lucy, how she attacked to Ken.
Refresh
and
my
even
memory.
David.
Yes.
Okay, so all that, we're, you know, everyone's scrambling before the vote. And Lucy says to Ken, this is what we're doing, and don't bring it up again. Don't talk to anybody. And she kind of tells
like
David, mm-mm. And Ken was like really upset about it. He's like, you don't talk to me like that. I'm a grown man. And David just kind of was like, yeah, I don't like that. But Ken was like really bugged about it. So it reminded me of when Natalia told them to shut up and go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And she walked away and was like, oh my gosh, this is Lucy all over again.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was watching the episode again last night to get ready for this call. And, you know, in sort of talking about it with Stephen Fishback and with PG over the last couple of days, I was, you know, asking the question about, you know, was it what Elizabeth did? Was it what Davey did? But it did seem like that Natalia really did alienate Alec and to a lesser degree Kara. There was that one conversation in the shelter that you referenced when Natalia told Davey what to do in the game.
So you're going to vote for her, right?
Yeah.
So go back to sleep.
Okay.
You two shut up.
So she also said to Davey, which I didn't pull, that like, if you want to have any life in this game after this, then you're going to vote with us. And then she told the two of them to shut up. And so in my exit interview with Natalia on Thursday, she had said that she didn't really remember saying that. She thought that maybe she was talking to herself aloud and telling herself to shut up. But she very clearly does say there, okay, and you two shut up.
Yeah, totally. And that was Lucy. Remember Lucy? She's like, shh, shh. You know, she had this like be quiet thing. And, you know, so a lot of times I think when you get voted out, you look for all the ways that you can, you know, say everyone else blindsided you. But really, you have to, you know, be a little introspective and go, OK, what did I do to put myself in this position?
Well, let's now, you know, factor, you know, all of this information into this discussion. Do you feel like it was as bad of a decision for Alec to flip to this group?
You know, I think it's hard to say until we see the next episode or two. I don't think it was horrible because he's opened up to a little bit more options, although now he's given control to the Davids. But I think Davey will want to continue to work with him, I would think. And the two of them, you know, remember in the hammock, they were like, is this a girl's thing? So if they can really, you know, if Alec can keep talking to Davey, like, I think this is a girl thing, then he'll keep him on his side. And then Carl will come over. So then you've got the three guys. So I don't know. It's hard to say. On paper, it kind of looks dumb, but sometimes those moves end up working in your favor later.
Because Sunday, in Millennials versus Gen X, you guys had a swap, and it, similarly, that you guys swapped where there were more people from, you know, one group, I guess that nothing was evenly split. But each time that one of these groups went to tribal council, the group that had the majority ended up losing a person. And I just think that that's so weird the way that that's happened.
It is. And I thought of that immediately after that vote. But here's the thing, too. I always think when you get swapped, you have to look at that new tribe as possibly your lifeline because you don't know what's going on the other swapped tribe. So you have to invest something into those people, your new tribe. And I think that's what happens. And, you know, when you're out there, you bond so fast with people, especially if you're going through hard crap, like weather and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know that it was a totally horrible move, but I guess we're not going to know until the next vote.
Well, you know what? But we do have this case study in Millennials versus Gen X. And let's take just take a look real quick and look back at the three votes that happened after the swap and see if that was ultimately a good move. So we saw that David Wright and Chris Hammonds ended up flipping and voting out CeCe, and they kept Zeke and Michelle in the game. And probably for David Wright, it was a good move, but maybe not a great move for Chris.
Yes, you're right.
I mean,
a good move for Chris.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but you know, Chris is going to be out, you know, soon after the merge. I don't know if CC could have been a number for him, but if anything, it was a neutral of a move for him.
And CC wouldn't have been a number unless she had nowhere else to go. You know, it wasn't like those two were feeling the, you know, having the warm, like, let's work together feeling at all.
And, you know, the difference is I think that that was a, you know, you guys, the Gen X, with all due respect, a very fractured group.
Well, yes, I would say
it was a fractured group. So it ended up being a really good move for David Wright to be able to get rid of somebody else from because it would have been him.
Exactly.
All right. Then the next vote ends up being where Adam ends up voting out somebody from his own group, and he ends up flipping over to go with Jessica and Ken to vote out Figgy, and things worked out well for him.
I think that they did.
Yeah.
I think that was a good move on Adam's part.
So, I mean, I can't really say that, you know, had, you know, Adam voted with Figgy and Taylor there, you know, if things would have, you know, been mm-hmm. dramatically different, where if they voted, I don't know who they wanted to go after, whether it was Jessica or Ken. But do you remember?
I think it was Ken.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it was Ken.
Ken goes far into the game, but he's not necessarily a key cog for Adam. So hard to say exactly, how that would have changed things. But it worked out for Adam.
Yeah.
So there's some precedent for long-term success. But then the one that you were involved in, where Jay and Will vote against Michaela there and blindside Hannah as well and vote with you and Brett. I mean, ultimately, I think that was probably the worst of the three for those guys.
Yes, and I think a big issue in that whole vote was not telling Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that created a wedge that sent Hannah to the other group once we got to the merge. That particular thing of not telling her created a big issue for all of us after the fact. You know, and obviously Brett and I are trying to survive. So it's like, I don't even care. But, you know, we tried to find cracks, you know, and it was like they were so tight is the appearance they were giving us. Anyways, I tried to talk to Michaela and Hannah a little bit, you know, and if I could have got them on a plan, Michaela knew Jay had the idol. We could have voted him out and the idol in that spot, you know, but I don't think that it ended up being a great move in the end.
Did the millennials that were left in the game, did they trust Jay and Will less because they turned their back on Michaela, or was it only Hannah?
It was only Hannah, because when we got back, it was kind of like the boys club got back together. And, you know, they didn't show it much, but Jay and I were really working closely together. And it made Brett really nervous that the minute Jay was back, him and Taylor were a thing. Taylor was trying to get me to come over with him, Jay, and Will. And, we wanted that those ones split up right away once they got back together. So, yeah.
Because I'm wondering, in the context of Natalia, if it matters how popular the person was with the original tribe, where had Natalia been somebody that everybody loved in the Goliath tribe, could there be more blowback potentially against Alec for making this move to flip against one of their own from the other Goliaths down the road?
I think so, definitely. And I think in our case, I feel like there probably was some thought that, okay, Michaela's a huge threat. Like, she literally could have gone on to win every single immunity challenge. Like, that wouldn't have been out of the question. So there probably was a little bit of thought like, okay, one big threat was eliminated for us. I don't think there was anyone necessarily like, oh, my word, I wanted to work with Michaela when she got here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in some people's mind, it was kind of a relief, because she wasn't there and they weren't the ones that had to do it.
Now, you guys had that vote and then it was the merge right after that. So there wasn't a lot of time when you guys had to live with Hannah after she was blindsided at that Ikabula camp. But now this is the first vote after the swap. So now, you know, Alec and Kara have to go back to camp together. And this was a blindside of Kara. Do you feel like that she will hold a lot of animosity towards Alec for doing this and blindsiding him? Or do you think that she is going to just have to recalibrate and say, okay, well, we're the only two people left from the Goliath, so we need to work together?
I feel like she's the latter. I feel like she's going to feel like we have to work together to stay. You know, they could have, what, two more votes probably as the SWAT tribe. So at that point, you have to suck it up and be like, well, what else am I going to do? But I don't think she'll forget. I think she will, if she stays in the game, she'll make nice and work with them until the merge. But at some point, that'll come back, I think, to bite him if he's there long enough.
Okay, let me play a question for you about all of this stuff going on. And let me bring in a voicemail from Graham from the Bay.
Hey, Robin Sunday, it's Graham from the Bay. So Alec's move is not that great, but I've been trying to think of a way to look at it as a somewhat rational move from Alec's perspective. And the only thing that I can think of is something that Tony said in Survivor Kageyan, where he was like, hey, Rock and Rob, you can either have an alliance of numbers or an alliance of comfort. Now, I know it's super early in the game, and I'm not saying AM is TV in any way, but is there any defense of this move from the angle that Alec is looking at this as an alliance of comfort over an alliance of numbers? Love to get your thoughts. Thanks.
Okay, Graham has an interesting question where, you know, Tony was not as concerned about having numbers from his original tribe, because what good are the numbers if it's people that you don't trust? But if you, for whatever reason, feel like you're vibing with this new group, is it better to jump ship, forget the numbers, it's only day 11 or whatever, and if you feel like that you've got a good thing going with this new group, just say, roll the dice.
I don't know, because it can come back to bite them later, so it won't matter on the numbers, and everything moving to the merge is about numbers.
Right.
And so without him being able to communicate anything with his other tribe mates that are spread out, it's too hard to say how they're going to view what he did.
Right.
You know, because you can't communicate with each other and explain it. And I do think, you know, you can get yourself in trouble when you vote people off just because you're annoyed with them. And that's where you have to swallow a little bit of a pill and go, I still need numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
I think in the case of Tony, that he was coming from a three tribe season where that he was part of the original Braun tribe. And I think that it's less important to keep the numbers from your original tribe in the three tribe format than it is from the two tribe format. Because if you have the numbers in the two tribe format, that you can get to the merge with enough people from your tribe that you don't necessarily need to make a new coalition. Whereas in the three tribe format, you need to pick people up along the way. So Tony, you know, it was not going to have six people from the original Braun tribe necessarily at the merge that he was going to reconfigure, even though I think that there might have been six people in the game at the time that he voted against Cliff Robinson. But he was looking at it, I think, in terms of that, okay, well, let me pull together, you know, three people from the beauty tribe or two people from the beauty tribe, and then I can go ahead and make numbers from this new group as opposed to just trying to get back together with my original tribe, because there's not enough numbers there to ultimately run the table.
Yes, exactly. And when you get to the merge, what's your first question when you get back to your old Alliance members? Who you got?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got this. Who you got? I got this, you know, and you start counting up then. You brought so-and-so over with you. You brought so-and-so over with you. So I think that's where the numbers play into, you know, more so once you get to the merge and you've brought people with you. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how the other tribes view his move. And here's the thing. If Natalia was coming across forceful and, like she said, aggressive, you know, that probably didn't just happen on the swap, if that's her personality, right? So it had to have been noticed before they even got that far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so his other tribe mates on the other tribes could have been like, oh, you know, okay, well, we know why, because this is how she acted. And then I just thought it was odd that she didn't jump into the conversation like with Elizabeth and Kara, you know, until the very end. It seemed like she just, you know, was like looking around and not talking and kept saying, you know, like later in her confessional, I wasn't part of the conversation, but I just felt like she didn't involve herself in it.
She didn't have anything in common.
Well, you find something in common.
All right. Well, let me play a question about that. Here's a question from Amanda in Florida.
Hey, Sunday and Mr. Incredible. This is Amanda Fallon, now coming to you from Naples, Florida. Elizabeth and Kara bonded a lot over their similar faiths, leaving Natalia on the outside a bit. So my question is, how much of a bonding factor did this have for Sunday? And if you think it could be something that connects Elizabeth and Kara moving forward? Thanks.
Okay. So this is that conversation that we're talking about where they talked about horses. They talked about mm-hmm. their faith. Sunday, I know we haven't talked about it much today, but obviously that is one of the things that people know about you, about how important your faith is to you. Was that anything that bonded you with any of the other players in your season, or were they just a bunch of heathens?
Well, kind of both. No, I'm just kidding. I really tried to just, obviously you can't separate faith from who I am because it's part of me, but I'm very deliberate about not making that a dividing factor with other people. Will and I probably bonded a little bit because we were at Ikabula, maybe talking just in the middle of the night. But I try to find something that's more, what do you want to say? Like more people would have in common. So since that's so important to me, I don't want to assume it is for other people. So I really didn't use that as a bonding thing with others. I tried my best to make it as something that wasn't divisive and wasn't separating me from other people. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. It was like, I wasn't going to use that. I feel like, unfortunately, in many scenarios, faith becomes something that turns people off mm-hmm. instead of being something that causes people to want to bond with you. Mm-hmm. So while I didn't steer away from my faith, I wasn't the person that was out there with it because I didn't want anyone to feel like, oh, here's just another Christian who's going to judge me or whatever. And I just felt like it's too many times it's a turn off instead of something that bonds people. So I really didn't use that aspect for, you know, finding commonality with people in the game.
Did you feel like also that in some way that, you know, being known for your faith is something that could be a hindrance in the game? Because then, you know, you already have the mom thing going against you. You know, you talk about if you get to the end where, you know, how could you do this? Uh-huh. I looked at you like a mom. But then especially, and I think that, you know, Dawn Meehan, while the reception to her in that final tribal council in Karamoan, I think is probably part of this also when, you know, oh, you came in here and we thought that you were, you know, so righteous, and then you mm-hmm. betrayed us of all people. So I think that that's also a problem where, you know, if you have that background, I think that people sort of hold you to a different standard if you do any sort of betrayal in the game.
Oh, absolutely. Which is why, for me, it was important to not be out there every day like, hey, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, this is what I do, and that's what you do. I'm not pointing out differences with people. And so I think the problem comes in when people come into the game and they kind of tout their faith, mm-hmm. Or it becomes part of the conversation that they are bringing up all the time. I wasn't pointing fingers to my faith on purpose. Was it, you know, difficult for me internally sometimes? Yes. But again, I viewed it like a game. Mm-hmm. And I was more concerned about turning people off to faith or me than I was concerned about sharing my faith and trying to get it out there for the public.
Right.
That makes sense, you know?
Yeah. And I don't want to say that it's completely a male-female issue because mm-hmm. Coach, who really you know, went hard into that in Survivor South Pacific and had prayer circles and, you know, really mm-hmm. used that to, you know, influence Brandon Hance along the way. I think that, you know, that mm-hmm. was also one of the things that when he loses the game that I think that people, were a little salty with him about, that he talked so much about his faith throughout the season and then felt like that he was not genuine with them.
Yes. And that is that's how you can come off. And that's why, to me, I just tried not to interject that into the game. In fact, when I was in the casting process with Jeff, I said to him, Jeff, I got to tell you something. He's like, what? And I said, the Christians you have on the show, they're weird.
Yeah.
And I said this to Jeff. I go, the Christians you have on the show, they're weird. And he goes, they are. Why are they weird? And I go, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something right now, Jeff. I'm not going to be weird. And so I, 100% honest, besides winning the game, my goal was just not to be a weird Christian. and just not interject. Be me. Okay. I didn't change who I was, but I didn't feel like I needed to interject it into the game because I didn't want it to cause any kind of division or cause someone to be turned off by who I was or the decisions I was going to make in the game.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so it's a part of you, but it's not like the only, you know, prism in which you view every issue that comes up in your life or Survivor.
Exactly. And you know, it's an internal conversation instead of an external conversation. Mm-hmm. That's how I viewed it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sunday, let me play another question for you. This is a question from one of our listeners, Adam, not Adam Klein. And he has a question for you.
What's up, Sunday? What up, Zesty Sesty? This is Adam from Minneapolis. Sunday, as a fellow resident of the land of 10,000 lakes, which cast member do you think is the most Minnesota nice? Thanks, Skol Vikings.
Okay, first off, Sunday, this is a big weekend where your Vikings are going to be playing my Jets. So this is also a big rivalry weekend. Jets are hot right now.
It is.
Yes.
Big rivalry.
Yes.
And who do you think is going to come out on top?
I don't know. I think that this could be a big revenge game after Kirk Cousins shunned the Jets, would not even talk to them, would not even take their money. And then the Jets had to go out and draft their franchise quarterback, Sam Darnold. So could be a lot of bad blood there between the Jets and the Vikings that you don't even know about.
Yeah, I didn't even know all that, Rob.
Fancy Kirk Cousins, too good for the New York Jets.
Well, Skol Vikings.
You like that?
That's all I gotta say. Skol Vikings.
Okay. What is it? Skol Vikings?
Skol, yep.
Skol?
S-K-O-L.
Like what? Skol. Like chewing tobacco?
No, like Vikings. You know, like Vikings of the North? You know, like ancient Vikings?
Skol, like skull and crossbones?
No, Skol. S-K-O-L.
Skol. What's a, like a field skull?
No, like, you know, like the Vikings that came on the ships with all the, you know, they had like helmets.
What does a
with
skull
like,
mean? Like back
I don't
to
know,
skull
Rob?
Night?
No, stop. Stop. I'm going to get in trouble now because I don't know what skull means. So just stop.
Okay. We'll look it up.
I just happily say it at every game. That's all.
Okay. So Sunday. I'm so glad that we have you here on the podcast because, you know, that you are, in many people's opinion, the nicest survivor. There's so many survivors that they, have potty mouth and all the stuff like that. And honestly, Sunday, that I feel like that I've gotten away from myself because recently, I don't know how aware you are of this, but I've actually had some trouble with getting guests to come onto the podcast because I've been accused of not being nice.
No.
Yes.
No, you're kidding.
I'm not.
That's
I wish I was.
Talking to me.
Yes. People are saying I won't even come on the podcast because you were not nice.
Well, Rob, you know, then you just got to get those people on and apologize for not being nice.
I tried.
What's the definition of nice?
Yes. What is the definition of nice?
Well,
tell me.
The definition of nice, you know, we're playing a game, right? So everybody should be okay with their games being critiqued. But maybe there's people that get upset if, you know, it slides over a little personal.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Okay. Well, this is what I have to learn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So critique the game all you want.
Yeah.
I think you do a pretty good balance of that, Rob.
Yeah.
I do.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. But okay. That's why I'm glad you're here because I want to talk about a couple different things. Okay. So we'll talk about who's Minnesota nice. But I want to touch on that you wrote an article at the start of this season for the website Inside Survivor, and it was called "Happy Cast Release Day ... or not."
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about the origins of this. Why was it important for you to write something which was sort of, I thought that, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it was to the 20 new players on the day of the cast release.
Yes, it ended up being that way. Not originally, but here's the thing. Every year when the cast gets released, including mine, you are, you know, the new players are so excited, right? This is a big deal. This is your dream. It's playing out and you're excited about it until 5 minutes after it's been released and you start hearing the critiques and the comments.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a comment I saw on Facebook in some chat room, and I can't even remember who it was directed at. And then Kellen had tweeted about a nasty message that had got sent to a new player.
Mm-hmm.
And it irritated me because, you know, I've had plenty of not nice things said about me,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. It's just kind of like, why do you have to rain on someone's parade? And it's like, if you were in that position and this dream is finally happening and now you get to watch it, and all these people are, you know, saying crappy things about you, it's kind of, you know, puts a wet blanket over the whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as much as you want to go into it knowing that people are going to, you know, critique you, but beyond that, say terrible things about you, I don't know how you really prepare for it.
Yeah.
And so I just tried to give a glimpse for the other side. For the people that are hiding, not necessarily hiding, but behind their computers, you know, saying whatever they want without really putting a person's feelings or a person behind what they're saying.
So this, I think, is always a very interesting conversation. And I feel like that mm-hmm. I have a little bit of a unique perspective on it because that I feel like I have been a fan. I have been mm-hmm. a person who has had things said about them that I have read. I have been a person who has said things that has offended people. So I feel like I've sort of been mm-hmm. in every seat on the bus on this issue at one point or another. And I do think that social mm-hmm. media, though, has made this more difficult, because I think that there was a time when reality TV started that I feel like that when the cast would come out for these shows, these were not real people. You know, you were sort of just, you know, able to gossip about these people, like, you know, everybody had sort of like these common people that they got to know, like, let's meet these new people, and then you got to talk about them, and it was sort of harmless because unless these people went and sought this out, that they would never right. see or read this information, and, you know, everybody can have a little more fun with it. And then, you know, with the, you know, influx of social media to all of this, then those messages get, you know, more accessible, and then in some cases delivered in not even for public consumption, of like via direct message to mm-hmm. a person. So that, you know, that's where, you know, things can really start to go wrong and say, well, you know, what am I doing, and, you know, why is this person saying these things about me? And, mm-hmm. you know, you talk about the cast assessment with Corinne, and that, mm-hmm. you know, I know just for, you know, a fact that that's not meant with any sort of malice. It doesn't mean that it's any easier to, you know, to hear that. And these survivors got off easy no. because Corinne, that the timing did not work out for us to be able to do that with Corinne for this season. So these guys, dodged a bullet.
Well, they did. I wondered where that was. But my comment about the brutal cast assessment really was to say that's one of the ones that you know is coming. It's part of the package. You should be thinking of it, in my opinion, like in a humorous way, mm-hmm. because they do. You guys do it every season to everybody. So my comment about that wasn't that bothered me. That's like a kind of a rite of passage. Mm-hmm. To me, it's more the comments like throughout the season, not the brutal cast assessment, because to me that's, I don't know, it's kind of like you should think in your mind as a player, like, oh, I'm actually going to be in the brutal cast assessment because I'm a player, you know? So
yeah.
When I listened to it, one of our players had warned me, like, don't listen to it. It's terrible, you know? And I was like, really? And so my sister listened to it and she texted me right away. She goes, it's not even bad. You should totally listen to it. And I laughed the whole time.
Okay.
So that didn't offend me at all.
Yeah.
Because it comes with the package. You're expecting it. And it's kind of fun. I'm more referring to all the rest of the stuff from all the, you know, armchair quarterbacks and just people. You know, I think sometimes you have to think about what's the origin of where this is coming from. Is it a 14-year-old sitting behind their computer at night just saying whatever they want?
Sure, I'm understanding. So, are you saying that it's the game related stuff, or there was like personal attacks that come across to these survivors over the course of the season?
I think both. I think for me, I like to look at as you know, okay, is this personal or is this game? Okay, you have your game opinions. That is totally your choice, and I made the decision to go on a show, so I would expect to be critiqued. I think the problem is when it just goes over into more personal things. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think there was a song written about me called 80 Ways to Kill Sunday.
Yes.
Or something like that.
And
you
that
know,
was and not part of the wand off or anything like that.
No,
had nothing to do with Rob Has a Podcast.
It wasn't even aired. So that is, okay. That's great. It wasn't even aired. But what I'm saying is, to me, that goes over the line. That's not just critiquing game.
Yeah. So I guess what you're saying is, like, everybody, let's get a hold of ourselves.
Let's listen to what our moms taught us in kindergarten. Okay. Right. You know, if you don't have something nice to say, you know, critique the game, leave the people out of it. Can you do that?
Yes.
Is that even possible?
Okay. So Sunday, what I was hoping for is that maybe I had referenced that we're not able to do the Corinne cast assessment. And since you were here, I was wondering that could you give us your most Sunday brutal, but still not over the line cast assessment for some of the players on this season?
Okay, Rob. that's very nice of you. Okay,
so it was Sunday because people, I think they were clamoring for it, and so I just thought that since I had you here and you were talking about this, that I felt like that we could get you to give us, you know, some sick burns for the cast since they got off so easy.
Oh, you know, Rob, come on. I'm not even prepared for this.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
So here's the deal. When I give my assessment, it is going to be with my Minnesota Nice. And so I would like there to be a hashtag Survivor Nice.
Okay. All right.
That's my hashtag, Survivor Nice.
Okay.
So, okay, I'm looking at the cast.
Okay, do you want me to give you names
things?
Or you just want to
give me a name.
Okay.
That'll be easier because then I don't have to pick
all right.
on
what about the mayor of Slamtown?
Okay, this is going to be hard because I like the mayor of Slamtown.
Well, I'm sure Corinne likes a lot of the players. She might probably like the mayor of Slamtown.
What has he done that's not nice? They haven't shown him doing anything that nice.
All right, how about Christian?
Oh, Christian. I think Christian is playing it up a little bit for us.
Oh.
I think Christian is playing up the camera. I think Christian is really working it with everyone. Now, that's good. If, mm-hmm. You know, he's getting in with everybody, so that's good. But I think he may be playing up his persona a little bit more than is maybe what's actually happening in real life.
Okay. All right.
That's not very mean, Rob. Okay. I do think he's playing it up for the camera, though.
What about Hot Cop Dan?
Oh, Dan. Hey, Dan. Dan, all I'm seeing is Taylor over again a little bit. And, you know, the whole conversations with what I name my dog that. Oh, my word. It's day two. I'm in love. I'm like, it's, you know, all sweet and everything. But come on, Dan.
Come on, Dan.
Come on. Yeah. Come on, man.
Okay. What about Natalie?
Natalie. Well, okay, you can tell that Natalie is a successful person, right?
How so?
I think she has a business, right? A successful business.
A lot of people have businesses. Doesn't mean they're successful.
Okay, so she knows how to delegate very well. I think she could work on her delivery a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, hell, this is not, I don't like doing this job.
See? Not easy.
No, it's not. I think that, you know, she might want to be a little bit careful about just sitting back while telling other people to do things. I think if you get involved in what you're telling people to do, at least they don't feel like you're just sitting there while they do all the work.
Mm-hmm. All right, what about Gabby? Anything for Gabby?
Oh, no. Gabby, she's so sweet. She needs to just chill out a little bit and, you know, just have confidence in herself. Just think about how well she did on the last challenge and don't keep showing people all your emotions. Don't do that.
All right. Don't do that. Okay. Let me play a voicemail for you. This is from our good buddy, Austin Trupp, had a question for you. Okay. You ready for a question from Austin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. This is Austin.
Hey, Sunday. This is Austin Trupp calling in from Maryland. Big fan here. I wanted to know your take because you're someone who always excels in life at, you know, sometimes when you're a fish out of water, you're able to adapt your situation and you're really good at making it, setting it to your advantage to make it work out for you. And so I want to know your opinion on who from David versus Goliath is the biggest fish out of water right now. And do you think they have what it takes, like you, to get it out of that situation and make it work for them? Okay. Love to hear from you. And I hope you are enjoying the life of a winner. You deserve it. Okay. Bye.
Okay. All right. Two things. Just two things real quick. The first of those that I was cracking up because I get a transcription of these voicemails when you call in the phone number on the voicemail. And I see that this voicemail from Austin, which begins as you just heard it.
Hey, Sunday. This is Austin Trupp calling.
So that Google, they have transcribed this and they send me like a readout of it says.
Yeah.
Hey, Zonde.
Holy moly.
This is Austin Truck. Hey, Zonde. I was like, oh, hey, Zonde call. Yes.
Holy moly.
I was so excited for a Tay Zonde question, but no. Hey, Sunday was the question. All right. So tell me about this because that I got that people were talking about this, that you did a Survivor ORG. You did a Survivor Maryland?
I did. It wasn't an ORG. Like, it was an actual game.
So my mind is blown because I thought Survivor Maryland was college kids.
Well, it is, Rob. It is.
And then you went to the college?
I did. So
I thought it plays out over weeks.
No, well, they did a mini one. A Survivor Reunion, Maryland. Yes.
Survivor Reunion, Maryland.
Yes. So what they did is they surprised Austin with a weekend Survivor game. And because he's passing the torch, he passed the torch.
Yes.
And I went out because Austin and I were Alliance members in Durham. And
holy
I just loved him.
Holy.
Mm-hmm. And so I went out to play the game. He didn't know we were playing it. He shows up, surprise, you're playing Survivor. We played for the weekend. We played from Friday night and Saturday we played from 7:30 a.m. and Final Tribal, I think, ended at 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went there. I was the oldest by 20 years. The next person in line was Adam, who's 27.
Mm-hmm.
I knew three people. I knew
Adam Klein.
Adam Klein was there.
Wow.
I'll tell you how that went. Adam, I knew Austin and Ryan Kaiser.
Mm-hmm.
And
you beat Adam this time.
Yes, I did.
You tell him
not
now,
happy
we're,
about
now
it.
We're even.
Yeah, totally. That's totally even. But I show up at a frat house on Friday night, which I've never been to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, here I am. I'm 47. I'm with all college students at a frat house. What the crap am I doing here? So we play the game and it was their all-star people and I took Austin with me to the final three, along with a girl named Holly, who was one of their all-stars, and I won.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
What did you say? What was your speech?
My speech was,
like, damn it, I'm 47. I'm at a frat house. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm from Minnesota. That I'm in God knows where. Give me the damn win.
Well, honestly, Rob, I cried a little bit. And I was like, you know, I shouldn't even be here. And I, basically, this is what I said. I was like, I don't know why you guys are nice to me. I'm 47. I don't know why you all want to work with me.
I
but
that's not
whatever.
Even that old.
It's not, but compared to them, I mean, I had to, like, wrestle people, Rob, wrestle guys and stuff that are 23. But my
some people, that sounds like a great Friday night, Sunday.
Not in my, not for me. It was very painful. You should have seen all the bruises on my body. But I just basically said, you know what? Somehow I made it through this game. I didn't know anybody. You all know each other. I'm way older than all of you. And I brought Austin with me, which, you know, the whole thing was for him. And that was a risky decision. And Adam kind of gave it to me at Tribal, but really he was trying to push an answer out of me. And he's like, well, why would you bring Austin? That's not even a good idea.
So
you know?
He was like, he was kind of a rough juror on you.
Just a little, but he was doing it on purpose. He was really trying to get me to just really explain my thinking. And so when he asked me that, I said, you know what? Because I think I can beat him. And there was kind of a collective like that. And yeah, I beat him by one vote.
Was this recorded or this was just for fun?
Just for fun. I mean, there's a few random videos out there, like of reading
this,
the votes.
We didn't spoil this for people.
You did not spoil this for anybody.
And
you did not.
Did you say to Adam, like, how dare you? I voted for you in to win the game and you are even grilling me right now? Sit down.
No, I thought it and then I realized what he was doing. In fact, Adam has been one of my biggest cheerleaders. He's amazing. And he sat there and cried like he always does while I won. And so
he cried for you when you won?
He did. It was a very touching moment, Rob.
You tell him, like, all right, Adam, come on, get a grip. Come on.
No, I like him that way.
Okay. I'm going to see him next week.
I know.
At the Reno It Alls.
Yeah, fun.
We'll see him. Okay, I'll ask him about all of that. All right. Let's talk about what was going on. So much like in the same way that you guys had to form the Ikabula tribe where, and I was talking to PG about this, that, you know, once upon a time when you were that new tribe, it was actually hard. But now these new tribes seem to thrive. You guys started to, you know, turn that perception around with, you know, had a great tribe in Ikabula, only went to that one tribal council. And so this new tribe that we saw that we got to see between the Christian and Gabby and Dan and the mayor of Slamtown and even Dr. Allison are all there. And we saw the exchange. A lot of people wanted to see Christian and John together. And we got to see that in this episode. And that are you curious about Slamtown Sunday?
Well, okay. I really don't understand Slamtown, but
It's so easy to understand.
Well, now I understand. I didn't get to finish my sentence, Rob. Now that he explained it in the episode, Slamtown's all the people that he's beat.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that Slamtown? Yeah.
Yeah. The history of Slamtown, I think, is not unlike Australia, which it's a penal colony, Slamtown.
What does that mean?
That it that people that Slamtown is being talked about like it's some utopia, but no, Slamtown is hell. Slamtown is that John Morrison takes you and then you go against John Morrison, Johnny Mundo, and you get slammed to Slamtown. It is not like that you buy a condo and set up shop there, that you do not want to be in Slamtown.
That
means you have been slammed by John Morrison, that he has put you there for a reason, and there is no way out. Once you get slammed in, you don't just get to leave.
Really?
Like the Hotel California.
I didn't know that. Oh my gosh. I didn't know you could never leave Slamtown. Well,
no.
That's a whole nother thing now.
No, you get slammed in, you don't get slammed out.
Like, it's a death sentence? Like, you're there forever?
I think so. But
like purgatory or something?
But this Christian, that he is fascinated with, that not only does he want to be in Slamtown, he's mesmerized by Slamtown, but he's looking to get a position on the board in Slamtown, because then I think you get like favorable treatment if you have like some sort of a public position there.
So I was most curious about the availability of a comptroller position.
He wants to be the comptroller of Slamtown Sunday.
Well, then that's like saying, okay, I want you to beat me.
Yeah, well, right? I think he's
realized. If you want to be in Slamtown, like, he just thinks he has no choice then,
he's
right?
He's going there. He's going there no matter what. Because John Morrison has already said that he is taking the Davids to Slamtown. So all of the Davids have a one-way ticket to Slamtown down the road. Because, John Morrison said last week,
as far as we're concerned, it means how are we going to move forward to take the Davids to Slamtown at the next challenge?
Right. How are we going to set up shop, basically take all of these people that we don't like and send them right to Slamtown? All the Goliaths are in on the plan, and they are moving the David tribe to a facility at Slamtown. And they're going to be, you know, unwillingly, oh, look, it's fun, but it's not. It's not going to be fun. But I don't know if you knew all this, Sunday, or if you're getting an education right now.
Yeah, I'm getting a big education. So even more important than those Davids don't end up there, because then they can play that clip later about how John was going to send them all to Slamtown.
Yeah.
They better pull it together.
Well, it's too late. They're all going to Slamtown. And Christian
is
all excited.
It's never too late, Rob.
No, it's too late. It's already booked. It's already set up. And so Christian is all excited about being the comptroller for Slamtown. But Sunday, do you realize that is like a highly coveted position in Slamtown?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. Any sort of cabinet position, level position in Slamtown is coveted, because then you get better treatment than the other people that are in Slamtown. And, you know, Slamtown is a place like most of America right now. You know, it's very divided by partisan politics, and there is a lot of dirty campaigning that is going on in Slamtown this election season. Did you hear about any of this?
No, I didn't hear about this.
Yeah. And there's actually been a lot of this corporate money, which has now flowed into Slamtown. And there's a lot of campaigning going on. And I actually heard a radio ad in Slamtown that was posted. Did you hear this?
No, I haven't. I need to hear it. Okay.
This was a radio ad that was run this week about the comptroller position in Slamtown.
Christian Hubicki wants to be your new comptroller, but is he right for Slamtown?
Christian is a quirky guy.
Christian is unstable.
A hyperfrenetic person like me is the ideal person to handle it all.
Careless.
The chicken has flown the coop. Damn!
Christian Hubicki isn't even from Slamtown.
Here in Winfield, where I grew up, you know, we had hard times.
Christian Hubicki doesn't know anything about Slamtown.
I was just curious about sort of the demographics of Slamtown and what they consist of.
Christian Hubicki wants dangerous nuclear weapons in Slamtown.
I really need sort of like charm nuclear warfare.
Christian Hubicki isn't even a Goliath.
That's really bad.
Christian Hubicki, right for Wimpville, wrong for Slamtown.
This ad was paid for by Ryan Ulrich for Slamtown Controller.
Wow.
That's some serious campaigning right there.
It's not right how negative the campaigning has gotten. That is not Minnesota nice.
That is not Survivor nice.
Dirty campaign ads against Christian. Yes.
I don't like it.
I've endorsed him.
Well, I would too. I want to see him take, you know, the mayor position. That's what he needs to do.
Well, I don't think that that's going to be a dirty race to run for mayor. But maybe he could rise through the ranks one day.
Yeah, maybe.
To get into it.
Maybe.
Okay. Sunday, I want to ask you a little bit about this idol nullifier that we got to see in this episode. Okay. So let me play you a voicemail from one of our good buddies. Matthew Cerrone has a question about the idol nullifier that was introduced in this episode.
What's going on, Rob? What's up, Sunday? You know, I'm thinking with this vote nullifier, it will be a great opportunity if down the road, Carl and Davey get together and they, you know, realize that Davey has the idol, Carl has the nullifier. They could really force getting somebody out of the game almost guaranteed. You know, if the relationships and the dynamics are right, Davey could, you know, give the idol to somebody to play, and then Carl could play the nullifier, and that person probably goes home. It's seems like a really interesting way to force a exit, and I wonder if that's just a scenario that could play out. Otherwise, I like the addition, and I'm interested to see how they use it if it isn't that way. Hope all's going well, and keep up the good work. Be in touch soon. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Mm-hmm. Does Matt have a good point in terms of, like, should people not get too fancy with the idol nullifier and just, like, have somebody that you really want to get out, whether it's your Joey Amazing, whoever it is, and then just, okay, tonight they didn't win the necklace and they're going home, and let's just put the idol nullifier on this person?
I mean, you'd like to think that, right? But I would be shocked if it was that easy. If they used it that easy. Mm-hmm. I just think there's so much at play that you have to know 100%. You have to know 100% who's playing an idol in the first place and not giving it to somebody else. I think it's a lot to consider. But the easy, straightforward way would be just what Matt said. Mm-hmm. They combine the two, talk someone into using the idol, and get them out.
Yeah. But can you do that?
Know.
Can you talk somebody into that Sunday? Is it even possible to get somebody to play the idol where you want them to do it if it's not your idol?
No, but
can a
I'm
person
saying,
even
like,
do that? Get somebody to use an idol in a different way than they're anticipating? Can you trick somebody into playing an idol?
I think you could trick a desperate person into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could convince them that it's better for your game if they're still there. And then, you know, I'm going to save you with this idol. And then, oops, we're not.
Because some people say that you got David Wright to play the idol on the wrong person in Millennials versus Gen X. I've heard that.
You did. You heard correctly. That is absolutely true.
And I may have heard that from Brett LaBelle.
Well, of course, Brett. My best friend, and of course Brett would tell you that.
That may have been from our text conversation yesterday.
Oh, really? Oh, he's funny. I love him.
He's the best.
He is the best. I did. And then it was really annoying afterwards because some podcasters, you know, just couldn't fathom that I would on the spot have the wherewithal to misdirect the idol.
Well, Sunday, what am I, omniscient? I know everything. I get things wrong sometimes.
Well,
Nobody would listen to this show if I just knew everything.
What sources? Well, you could have asked somebody.
I don't like to ask the contestants about what's going on during the season because I feel like that people don't want to listen to this show if I know too much information. That's what this show is, where we're all like, if I know too much, then the show becomes not fun. That people want to listen and like, I agree with Rob, or Rob is wrong about this, and then I get to hear about it on social media.
Well, that's good. Did you hear about it on social media?
I don't remember. I think there was a lot going on 2 years ago.
I know. My favorite was somebody, it wasn't you, I don't remember who it was like, well, surely Zeke told her to do that.
Stephen Fishback.
Oh, he did? No, he gave me a mini fishy for it.
Why not a full size?
I don't know.
Is it like Halloween? You get like a fun size fishy?
I don't know. At least I got a little fishy. I mean, I was happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually was sitting there. Guppy is a really little fish. Yeah, I sitting there and they're going back and forth. And, you know, I hear David behind me tell Adam, let's vote for Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I turn around and I'm like, David, did you say to vote for me? And he's like, no. And I go, yes, you did. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, I guess I did. And I go, well, that's dumb.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's dumb. And Hannah is looking at me and she heard me and Will. And I was like, let's just stick to the plan. And she looks at me and goes, well, what's the plan? Like, I was going to tell her. So I kind of leaned back on my stool and I was like, who is not getting any votes? And because we figured David had an idol and I saw Ken. I was like, Ken. They couldn't believe they did it. I couldn't believe they believed me. Mm-hmm. I was really happy about it. But yeah. I don't know that it totally changed the outcome of the vote, but it did get wasted. Well, it did because he didn't use it on Hannah.
All right, let me play you a question. This is from the Mustache Dragon.
Rob, it's the Mustache Dragon leaving you another voicemail wanting to know about the idol nullifier. So it's a singular idol, right? So if somebody plays a second idol because they're bad ass, does that mean that both of them are nullified, or do they get to still save themselves with that second idol? Love to know what you're thinking, man.
Okay, Sunday. So this is the kind of outside of the box question that we get from our listeners, like Mustache Dragon, classic Mustache Dragon. So if I play, if somebody has two idols, like James did once upon a time, like Jeremy Collins did in Survivor Second Chances, could I play two idols on myself? One that would get, you know, knocked off by the idol nullifier, but does the idol nullifier block out two idols for myself, or is the idol nullifier the end all be all? And it doesn't matter how many idols I play on myself.
I say it only goes on one.
Yeah. So if I go up there with two idols and I say, hey, Jeff, I'm going to play this idol for me tonight. And guess what? I'm also going to play this idol for me. That's right.
Why would you do that?
Two idols.
Why would you do that?
Because idol nullifier.
Would you guess that means you'd have to know there was such a thing as an idol nullifier?
Well, people don't know the idol nullifier is in this game, but in Survivor 39, if I have two idols and I'm going to say, let's say hypothetically, let's say it's the final five. Let's say the final five last night to play idols. And so somebody's like, oh, I'm going to get the jump on Rob tonight because I'm going to play the idol nullifier. I know he's got an idol. And so I go up there and say, you know what? Hey, Jeff, I'm going to play this idol for me. And then I'm also going to play this idol for me.
Would that not be epic? The nullifier can only work on one idol, not two.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what the rules are. And so then does Jeff say, well, I'm sorry to say that both of your idols are wasted because we have an idol nullifier tonight. And I say, no, there was only one idol is nullified. It's not called the idol's nullifier.
Exactly. Read the rules. Did you read the rules?
I think this could be like in the Game Changers type moment where read the fine print on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know that people I know screen grab these notes. And then I don't know if the idol nullifier ultimately overpowers all idols.
I don't think so, Rob.
You think if you play two, I feel like that survivor would say, no, this nullifies all idols on this person.
Really?
Yeah,
but then
so.
It's like taking away the whole thing that you took the time and whatever to find two different idols and they only found one nullifier.
It would be a great question to, you know, if you have a moment to sit down with Jeff Probst and Madman Wagman to ask them that call on the field. So that because look, we have a lot of listeners that go on the show. This is going to have we are getting ahead of some lawsuit in Survivor 39 that's coming down the road for Survivor.
Well, that's true. You have to think of every single possibility. So when I'm out with Matt and Jeff for coffee next week, I will bring that up.
Yeah, go ahead and ask them that question. Okay. Let's take this question. We got a lot of people calling in from Minnesota, Sunday. Do you know that you're very popular, especially in your home state?
Well, that's very sweet. A Minnesota nice person would not say, yeah, you're right, I'm popular. They wouldn't say that. They would say, oh, that's so nice.
they turned out for you. So here is a question for you from Keith from Minnesota.
Hey, Rob, this is Keith from Minnesota calling in, and I have a question about Davey's segment where he talks about being a black nerd. He talks about how he drives a PT Cruiser and white people come up to him and say, great car, and start a conversation. I was very confused by this. Are PT Cruisers even still in production? And when you see them, what is your reaction to them? Because I don't think I've seen one for at least 5 years. Thanks for taking my call. Love the podcast.
All right, Sonny, do you know this Keith from Minnesota?
I don't know that Keith from Minnesota. Okay. I like him, though.
First off, I mean, the fact that they don't make PT Cruisers anymore, probably that's the reason why people are stopping Davey on the street to say, like, hey, nice PT Cruiser. You know, one time my wife claims, Sunday, that she saw Steven Spielberg driving around Los Angeles in a PT Cruiser.
No.
I said, well, more like an ET Cruiser. She said, no, PT Cruiser. She swears she saw Steven Spielberg driving a PT. I'm like, why would Steven Spielberg?
Well, she's right. I mean, she's got to be right.
And he wasn't Steven Spielblurred. It was Steven Spielberg, she claims, was driving a PT Cruiser around. This was like in 2010 or 2011.
I say, you have to believe her.
Why?
Because the wife is always right.
No,
Nicole was right.
She claims that she almost hit Weird Al Yankovic crossing the street with her car. She has a lot of tall tales, Sunday, that I think that she's just confused.
No, she's right. I believe her.
You believe her, sight unseen?
Yes, because she's the wife. That means she's right.
Automatically?
Yes.
She can't ever get something wrong?
Rarely.
Do you think Steven Spielberg drives around in a PT Cruiser?
Well, you never know. Maybe it was like research for a movie of what it's like to drive an ugly car.
What it's like to be Davey driving around? Yeah, this is what Davey had to say in the episode.
I'm ashamed to say that I haven't befriended too many Caucasians. It's not that I haven't wanted to, but I've just been around black people my whole life. But I am a black nerd. Like, I drive a freaking PT Cruiser. Like, I'm the black guy that white people love to approach. Like, hey, nice car.
Hey, Davey, call me. I am a white nerd. I have no friends. I used to drive a Mini Cooper. Call me. Pick me.
When he said that, my mind was like, wait, did he say PT Cruiser?
PT Cruiser. Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe in where he lives, those are very popular.
Yeah.
Use me.
No, Hannah, I call dibs already.
Use me.
No. Oh, my Hannah.
Me. I called it. Called it.
Yeah.
The Davey.
Cool car.
Easy to get a hold of. All right. Mm-hmm. This is a question. This is from Mike in Pittsburgh. This is Mike in Pittsburgh, not from Minnesota. This is Mike in Pittsburgh.
Robin Sunday, this is Mike Edwards from Pittsburgh. Hey, who is the bigger tag team? The Mayor of Slamtown, John Hennigan, and Sudoku Sam Christian Hibiki, or Brett LaBelle and the redhead Chris Hammond? Thanks. Bye.
Who you got in the tag team match of the Mayor of Slamtown and the Comptroller of Slamtown versus your buddies, Brett and Chris?
Really? I mean, the answer is obvious. Chris and Brett.
Chris and Brett. Why?
Well, first of all, they're hilarious. But second of all, I could never not pick them in any scenario.
What's the police force like in Slamtown?
You know, the police force is, they wouldn't be in Slamtown because they are the slammers, not the Slamtown residents.
Yeah, there is no police force in Slamtown. That is just basically, because again, it's, if Slamtown is like a penal colony, are there no guards in Slamtown, or is the mayor of Slamtown just the enforcer? If anybody tries to get out, they get slammed back in.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because I don't think the mayor is going to slam any officers into Slamtown. So, he's going to have to control all of it.
Right. So I feel like that the officers would be making sure nobody tries to leave Slamtown. Get back to Winfield.
No, because they wouldn't even be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in order to be in Slamtown, they would have had to have been slammed,
mm-hmm.
which is not going to happen.
Yeah. So maybe the match doesn't take place in Slamtown.
That's true. Maybe not. Still take Chris and Brett over the other two.
Okay. All right. This is a question for you. This is from Brent the Shower Man, and he has a question for you, Sunday.
Hey, Robin Sunday. This is Brent the Shower Man. After four episodes of Survivor David versus Goliath, I'm left with one question. Is there a doctor in the house? Or on the island? I know Dr. Allison was swapped onto a tribe with big personalities. But I think she was only seen once in the background at camp this week. I mean, she was great in First One Out. She's my winner pick. And I'm really surprised that we've seen so little of her so far. Is Dr. Allison okay? Is she turning purple before our very eyes? Please let me know what you think. Thanks.
Okay. Sunday, I wanted to ask you this question. Now, first of all, is this not Minnesota nice? Is this not Survivor nice to talk about somebody is, oh, where's Dr. Allison? What is she, Dr. Purple Allison?
Hey, you know, it is what it is. So okay. I don't think it's not nice.
If I may be so bold, I feel like that this was something that you were not thrilled about, that you felt like that, hey, I had a story on Survivor Millennials versus Gen X, and I don't feel like enough of my story was told on the season.
Yes, I did feel that way, but I will preface it like this. I try to look at the whole experience in perspective and understand that my story was just one part of a bigger story.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with a 20-person cast, it's difficult to show everybody's stories. And I think there were competing storylines in my season. And so I don't fault producers, or, you know, I realize they're making a show that they want to keep high in the ratings and all that. So,
and it's doing great this season, as again.
Yep, it is what it is. And what are you going to do about it? I mean, for me, I know that, you know, being I'm all Minnesota nice, that doesn't make for a lot of drama. And drama is, you know, good for TV.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think there was competing storylines, and I don't think it's mean to point out the purple edit because it is what it is. And, you know, that's a risk that you take. I had a player reach out to me during my season and tell me, just think about the great memories you had playing the actual game.
A player from your season or a past alumni?
A past player. That, you know, could tell it was hard, because we know, like, once you play and then you watch other players and seasons, you can tell the person that's, you know, maybe not highlighted as much, we'll say, and you know what it feels like. So some people know what it feels like. Someone reached out to me and said, you know what, just focus on your memories, how much fun you had playing the game and the people you met, and don't put so much focus on the edit. And that's what I tried to do.
Okay. So that's your words of encouragement to Dr. Allison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it could change by next episode.
Yeah. Who knows?
You know. Who knows? You just, you know. So it's part of the package.
Okay. Let's take this question. This is one from Katie from Chicago has a question for you, Sunday. Here's Katie from Chicago.
Hi, Robin Sunday. This is Katie from Chicago. And Sunday, I'm wondering which castaway exemplifies your idea of being a grit girl, meaning even in her darkest moments on the island, she will be inspired to power through. She will find the strength to survive in the game. And if you can't think of a girl, is there another guy cast with that has the same type of passion and power to survive with grit against all odds? Love to hear your thoughts. Love you, girl. Love you, Rob.
Oh, thank you. All right. Sunday, so tell me about this, that this is your cause, right? Grit girl?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So yep. what is a grit girl?
A grit girl is a woman who digs deep, finds her strength, finds her grit, and just refuses to give up, no matter what.
Yes.
Dig, woman!
And she also empowers other women to do the same thing.
Okay. So when did you start this? And this is something that you're a part of, or this is that you started this?
I started this after I got off the show.
Okay.
And it was just born out of, you know, getting through breast cancer and all. I've had, you know, multiple things I've had to deal with, as many people have.
Mm-hmm.
And just really decided it was going to be what I went after, you know, transitioned out of my job to start my own, you know, branding, I guess, speaking and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Okay. So if people want to know more information about that, IamGritGirl.com. And then you have a book as well?
I do. It's called Grit Girl. Yeah. It's called Grit Girl Power to Survive.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of go through my story a lot more even before the breast cancer. But and just you can get through anything. That's what I want women to know. And take other women with you.
Yes. Now, can I be a grit guy or is it only a grit girl?
I guess you could, you know, in your own
Sounds
way.
Like I can't, Sunday.
Well, you know, you can't. Sorry, Rob. You can't.
Why? You could be gritty.
To be nice. You can be gritty. It's just not the same. People expect guys to be gritty.
To be gritty, right. Okay.
Yeah,
so
some people don't expect women.
Being a tough woman through adversity.
Yes. Yes. Yep. I survived Survivor and breast cancer, right?
Yes.
And women survive stuff every single day.
Yeah. Most definitely. A lot of stuff. Even much harder than being on the voicemail feedback show.
Well, yes, that is true also.
A lot worse.
Hey, this isn't bad. I'm surviving pretty good, I think.
Yeah, no, you're doing great. And in all seriousness, you know, I joke around, but this is a really noble cause and something that you're pursuing. So, where do you do speaking engagements?
I do some corporate stuff, a lot of women's events, high schools, colleges, basically anywhere, but I really love colleges and I really like working with women and young women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the top of my list.
And so do you have people that are also that reach out and say, hey, I want to be a part of what you're doing?
I do have people that are helping. I have about 12 women that have kind of signed on to help me pull things up. I hosted. Yeah. Well, they all, my tribe. They helped me host my first event a couple weeks ago. And I have a tribe. Yeah. Pretty awesome. Now,
this is a great question from fellow Survivor alum at Real Billy Garcia, who says, my question is, what is special about this month and why is it important to you? # breast cancer awareness.
Yes. You know, I think getting through breast cancer was hard, obviously, but really changed the trajectory of my life in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that any setback a person goes through, they can look to find something positive to take out of it. And I believe that having breast cancer was one of the reasons I got on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they look for people with a story. And then not only that, the timing of me being on the show, our second immunity challenge with the Gen X tribe, we won. And it was the same day I had gotten diagnosed 4 years earlier. So that was really powerful to me. to be out there and to be able to say, oh my gosh, I'm competing and winning a challenge with a tribe on Survivor on the same day 4 years ago I got told I had cancer. And my point with that is that there's nothing really special about me that can be anybody overcoming in their life. So I think October just is an open door and a time when people are receptive to hear about breast cancer, to be more aware of, you know, women in their lives. They say one in four people are touched somehow by breast cancer, whether it's a immediate relative or distant relative. So it really is not something we're escaping or moving away from.
Yeah. And so I'm glad that this worked out to have you on here in October, of course, the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, I really am, you know, very happy when anybody is able to use the show as a platform for something positive. I mean, I use the show as a platform for something stupid, but I'm glad when people are able to use the show as a platform for something positive that is, you know, meaningful to people.
Your show's not stupid.
you have to say that. You're Minnesota nice.
I'm Survivor nice. But it still isn't stupid. You know, I listened to every podcast leading up to me getting on the show. I did puzzles all day and listened to Rob as a podcast.
Yes. Okay. Well,
that's what we do.
We said that you've been through a lot, Sunday. You've been through a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sunday, then I have one other question for you. Speaking of being through a lot, let's go to our good friend Edwin.
Hey, what is good, Sunday and Rob? Ed Wednesday here. I was just wondering what you thought about Survivor fans using your name for terrible puns in fantasy team names. Like, for example, Rob's team is Any Given Sunday Burquest. A couple other examples would be like A Tribe Called Burquest, Lazy Sunday Burquest, Total Burquest Live, The Pits Burquest Steelers, Burquest Love, DD Burquest Brook, Sunday Burquest for Fire, Burquest Coast Offense, Taking Back Sunday Burquest, Jordy Nell Sunday Burquest. See my vest, made of real Sunday Burquest. How Burquest was won. Totally hot and ridiculously Burquesty. North Burquestern Wildcats. Easy like Sunday Burquest. That's a little rude.
Yeah.
West Burquest Head. Officer. Am I under Burquest? Burquester Cheetah. Sunday Bloody Sunday Burquest. South by Burquest. No Burquest for the Wicked. You must phrase your response in the form of a burr question. Anyway, there's a couple. Thanks for taking my call. Stay burr crushing it.
Yeah. All right. Sunday. So, as Edwin referenced us, so I am in a fantasy football league where half of the teams have a variation of your name as their team name.
What?
Inspired by my several year running team name of Any Given Sunday Burquest. The actual team names, Lazy Sunday Burquest. There is a Sunday Money. There is a Sunday Burquest for Fire, A Tribe Called Burquest, and Total Burquest Live. Yeah.
You're blowing my mind right now.
Yes.
Where is this fantasy league?
So you've been inspired. I don't talk about it a lot because it's my worst fantasy team that I own. But should not be a reflection on you, Sunday.
No, I don't like that Lazy Sunday one. Is that the one you're using?
No, that's not me. And that's you know, there was an SNL skit, Lazy Sunday. So that has nothing to do with you. But yeah, but people are doing puns on Burquest also, which
I had no idea that this entire thing was going on.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I should be flattered though.
Yes.
Really.
Okay.
Right? Because is this similar to like the March Madness brackets that you did?
Oh, wasn't Selection there, Sunday like, Burquest.
Sunday Burquest March Madness. Yeah. I think I should start getting some royalties on all the times my name is thrown out there.
Well, look, it's good to be popular.
Well, it is.
Yes. Better to be talked about than not talked about, although maybe
you're right.
You disagree.
Well, I don't know. I my mind's just blown now about this whole league and this whole... all these names, but wow. As long as they remember I'm Minnesota nice Survivor nice, isn't then
that,
I'm
is
okay.
Is that super annoying, though, that to have, you know, when people meet you and then they, you know, hear your name is Sunday, you, your whole life mm-hmm. that you're, you know, hearing like, oh, like the day, you know, people make jokes. The mm-hmm. same jokes, because I know that it's annoying that anytime like somebody says like from that if I meet a stranger and somebody, you know, says like, oh, did you know he was on Survivor? And they say, oh, well, did you survive? That drives me crazy. And I hear that like once a year and it's annoying.
Yeah.
So yeah. Does that get on your nerves, Sunday?
No, I'm too You're used too to nice. It to let it bug me. And I'm too nice. You know, in elementary school, it was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Junior high, it was a problem. Now, not so much. Not so much. Everyone usually says either, were you born on a Sunday? Mm-hmm. Or they say, but it's Wednesday today or whatever day it is.
People change their name based on what day of the week it is.
Mm-hmm. Totally. They do that all the time.
Yeah. Everybody thinks they're witty, Sunday.
They do. They do. It's okay. It's just a conversation maker. That's all. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I'm okay with it.
You're fine with it. You have a good attitude.
I do. What am I going to do about it now?
Yeah.
And I don't have to say my last name.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you don't have to say Burquist necessarily when you're referring to Survivor players because there's no other Sundays.
Yeah, I guess so. Would it make you mad if there was another Sunday? Would you hate them?
I would not. Do you know what? There was another girl in my high school named Sunday, if you can believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But her name was spelt like the ice cream.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yep. So, nope. It'd be okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yes. Okay. So I'm trying to think. I think you say it's Sunday like the ice cream. That might be my stripping name, Sunday. I might save that one.
Yeah, not
Sunday.
Going there.
That's gonna be no. That's gonna be me. Yeah.
No.
No.
So,
yeah.
No.
I used
we'll
to know,
stick to Sunday like the day. That's we'll just stick to that, Rob.
All right, Sunday. All right. Yeah. So I've put you through so much that you want to hear about some of what these survivors are saying on social media, or you don't like to hear about that kind of stuff.
Oh no, I love it.
Okay. All right. Let's listen to what these survivors are saying on social media. Tweets, baby, tweets. Survivor tweets. It's better than finding an advantage in a coconut on the beach. Tweets. Okay. Look, I got to improvise if people don't send one. Okay. Sunday. Let's touch on a little bit. Now, you don't live tweet the show. Why? You don't feel compelled to do that.
Sometimes I do, to be honest, but I had an event Wednesday night, so I couldn't do it live, so I didn't do it.
Well, that's the best reason not to do it. Okay. This is a question from a tweet from Gabby. She is at GabScoozy, and she said, hot take. You can be emotional and vulnerable in private and also calm and competent when you have to perform a task. Keep that in mind when you call women overly emotional and assume that their personal life and disposition means that they can't do their work in a professional setting.
That deserves a bell ring. There we go.
Yes. You agree with that, that people should not call Gabby overly emotional.
No, I think she just needs to be careful who she shares her emotions with. But I 100% agree.
Yeah. Well, she did it mostly in private. And then we saw the one moment with her with like her trusted ally. And we didn't see like the Goliaths talking about where, you know, the mayor of Slamtown wasn't like, oh, my God, this Gabby, get it together.
No. And then she was so great at that challenge.
There's no crying in Slamtown.
There's no crying in Survivor.
And she did great in the challenge, too.
Yes, she was amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Sunday, next week on the podcast, we are going to talk with the great T-Bird Cooper, who was tweeting away. She does live tweet the episodes.
She does. And I love her. And I love her tweet.
Actually, she tweeted the episode when she was watching it that she missed it during the episode. But she loved it when Jeff Probst said, if you don't have a buff, you don't have a tribe. At Jeff Probst, that color sees. I don't know whose Twitter handle that is. On Exile Island, talking to the coconuts. Hashtag win win. I guess it must have been Carl. Carl is at CEEZS. Who knew?
Oh, What is up with that impression you give of her every time? It just cracks me up.
Well, because she's so excited. So maybe
she
she'll
is.
Be,
she's awesome.
Maybe she'll be shot out of a cannon next week. We're going to talk to T-Bird on the recap show. And then Bradley from Ghost Island is going to be here with me in the studio next weekend.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. Yeah. He's hilarious, too.
I like to try to get the pairing right where I can get. I got like sweet and salty next week.
Yes, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Good pairing.
Perfect combo.
If I can get it. And then Randy Bailey, and he's coming up in a couple of weeks as well. Randy Bailey, that he's out on his winner pick was Natalia. He's changing it to Carl.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Randy loves my voice.
He does.
Should ask him about that.
Yes. Are you being facetious?
Maybe a little.
Okay.
Maybe a little.
The Purple Pants Badass, Bryce Isaiah, that he really liked this quote from Liz in the episode.
So how concerned are you, Elizabeth?
I'm concerned, man. I was about ready to poop my pants today.
Yeah.
I love her. I think that she is the Southern unfiltered version of me.
Of you? Oh, she's Southern you?
She's Southern unfiltered version, and I'm the Northern filtered version.
Right,
of the same person.
Right.
Yep.
So, and then you were never so concerned on Survivor that you thought you might poop your pants. That is not the Northern.
Well,
Elizabeth.
I'm just saying, I just wouldn't have probably said it.
Yes. Okay.
That doesn't mean I never thought
you,
it.
You might think it, but you're not saying it. Okay.
Maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe not. You never know.
Then we also heard from Jeremy Collins. And can you confirm this? He says, FYI, Survivor brownies are the most delicious brownies you will ever have. I promise you.
No.
No, they are not.
No. He has to be being sarcastic.
Why?
Right?
Why? You have better brownies?
We didn't get brownies, but we got cookies and they were awful.
They were not good.
In fact, they were so bad, Michaela pouted and was mad for like an hour and did an entire confessional about how bad the cookies were.
Is it possible that following that maybe Survivor got attacked? Oh, no, but Jeremy played before you guys. Maybe
Jeremy
they used
first.
To have good cookies.
Well, I don't know what happened.
And good brownies.
But yeah, they were not good.
Although Jeremy also ate the gross stuff for no reason in Survivor Second Chance. So that maybe he doesn't have as fine of a palate.
Yeah, maybe we just consider the source on that one then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad when you get one cookie and you haven't eaten and you don't even want to eat the one cookie when you're starving. That's a bad cookie.
Your buddy Brett LaBelle tweeted, more crying.
More crying. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, you would have to say loser. That's what he would say. You loser! There's no crying in Survivor.
Yeah. Your buddy Figgy tweeted out, wait, B is out. My heart hurts for her. Survivor is no joke, y'all.
Well, that's true. It's no joke.
She also said, LOL, Dan is devastated that Kara isn't on his swap tribe. It's the best thing that could have happened to you, buddy. Take it from me.
Well, so you got to love a person who can poke at their own self.
Yeah.
It is true. What I noticed, though, was that they never showed Kara looking to make sure that her buff was the same color as Dan.
Yeah, she was like, she was so excited.
I did notice that he was the only one looking to make sure. Now, I will tell you, Brett and I were looking. Wait, what color do I have? What color does he have? And we were very happy we had the same color.
You guys are on the same page.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Nick Majorano, the mayo of Slamtown, that he said, I truly love when people quit Survivor. Proves how difficult the game is. It's not for everyone. A quit every 3 to 4 seasons is the perfect reminder. Did you feel like that was a quit from B?
I don't know that I can say that for another person if it's a quit or not.
Okay.
Not an athlete. Mm-hmm. I'm not in her shoes. I don't have her future. I think that how she felt on her tribe could have possibly played a little bit into that, but I don't know.
We don't know.
I'm not going to say that it was a quit. I I don't know. I'm too nice.
Okay, too
I don't
nice.
Know.
Too nice. Okay.
Yep. Survivor nice.
Yeah. Sounds like it kind of was. Sounds like it kind of was. And, yeah, and you too, too nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Sunday. So nice to get to talk to you on the feedback show.
This was fabulous to be here, Rob. I really appreciate it. I wanted to share, you know, being I have a, I'm the positive force of, what was I? The light and positivity?
Yes, yes, a force of positivity. Love and light.
Force, love that. And I have one last thing to share with you, Rob.
Yes.
I have a birthday gift for you.
Oh, you do?
And I do. And I wrote you a poem for your birthday.
Well, like Stephen Fishback.
Did he write you a poem?
No, he didn't write me a poem, but he loves poetry.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I don't want to be upstaged again.
No.
By Mr. Fishback.
No.
Okay, so I'm ready. I'm going to read my poem now. Ready? Okay. Happy birthday to Rob. He's quite the guy. When giving his survivor opinion, he's definitely not shy.
Yeah.
Rob is the one who knows it all. Just guess Steven, who puts in a weekly call. Make sure to give him a loud birthday shout, because we all know getting older can make a guy pout.
Yes, yes. Thank you, son. Are you still going?
Where's the ding? No, oh, I'm okay. waiting for the ding.
I didn't want to cut you off. I didn't want to cut you off. Yes. Thank you. Sunday, thank you so much. That was very nice.
I've spent a lot of time on that poem for you, Rob.
I appreciate it. Hashtag Survivor Nice for Sunday Berquist. And go ahead and check out IamGritGirl.com and go ahead and follow Sunday Berquist on social media. Just at Sunday Berquist.
Social media is at Sunday Survivor.
Sunday Survivor. Okay. As opposed to Sunday, the girl that went to school with you.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So go ahead.
At Sunday Survivor. Yeah.
And then do you have a prediction of Jets Vikings?
Oh, come on. Vikings for sure.
For sure. Is it going to be close or is it going to be a blowout?
I think, I think it'll be close. Maybe a 3-point, maybe. Be a one touchdown game.
Yes. So it'd be a 3-point skull.
Skull. Yes. S-K-O-L, not skull.
S-K-O-L. We still didn't even figure out what that is.
I will tweet it to you.
Okay. I feel like that's how millennials spell school, right?
I don't think so. Right. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
And so you still don't like the millennials? Or you like
I
them
love
now.
Millennials. I have always loved the millennials.
Yes.
You know, I worked full time with millennials, and then they got me saying that dumb soundbite at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. At the beginning in the preview, but all I wanted to do the entire game was work with millennials.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, I looked this up, and what does Skull Vikings mean? That skull is a bowl that was often filled with beer and shared among friends, and it became a way of saying cheers.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. So
there, now we know. I don't have my own skull then.
There you
go. I'll say Skull Vikings all day.
All right, Sunday. Thank you so much. Of course, here's what we have coming up next on Rob at the Podcast. We'll talk to Josh Wiggler on the Wiggle Room. Have you ever checked out the Wand Off Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yep.
I don't totally get it.
You dodged a bullet because we didn't start the Wand Off until about a couple seasons after you played in Millennials versus Gen X. But Josh Wiggler and I are going to talk through everything from this latest episode, and then we'll get into the week number 4 Wand Off. And then we are going to start to get ready for, I'm going to be in Reno, Nevada with your buddy Adam Klein, with Boston Rob, with Tyson, Michelle Fitzgerald, Gerald Coach, and we're going to be kicking off the re-know-it-alls, and then we're going to be live after the West Coast version of Survivor coming up on Wednesday night, so be on the lookout for that. And then next week's exit interview, plus I'll talk to T-Bird and then Bradley when I am back in the studio next weekend, so be on the lookout for that. Sunday, anything else you want to say?
Just thank you for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on. Thanks again to the patrons of Rob is a Podcast who make all of this nonsense possible. To find out more about the RHAP patron community and everything that we have, all of the things that are very beneficiary to you, go ahead and check out robhasawebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.